Good morning. Good to see you all this morning. Welcome to worship at San Carlos Community Church. I just think it's so cool we have children's church. Praise the Lord. You know, our vision and our mission is Touch San Carlos, and it includes the children as much as the adults. And we're so just grateful about what God's doing in people's lives. Turn with me in your Bibles this morning to Luke chapter 12, if you would. Luke chapter 12. We're going to look at starting at verse 22. Luke chapter 12, page 871 in your Bibles. While you're turning there, let me grab one announcement that I just want to highlight. Some of you in the last couple years since Karen and I have been here have expressed an interest in asking the question, how can we be more effective during Semana Santa week? Can we not, the church, go out into the world and make a difference somehow, some way? So this Wednesday, this coming Wednesday at 7 o'clock, we're going to have a Semana Santa brainstorming meeting here at the church. If you have an interest in that, what we could do, what things, how we could touch and impact the community, we invite you to come 7 o'clock here this coming Wednesday night for just a brainstorming meeting and putting some ideas together and seeing where God would lead us in that. Hope you'll come. We're talking about this morning living beyond the weight of worry. This is a two-part sermon this week and next Sunday. Follow along, if you would, while I start to read in Luke chapter 12, page 871, verse 22. And he, Jesus, said to his disciples, "Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat, nor about your body, what you will put on. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothing. Consider the ravens. They neither sow nor reap. They neither storehouse nor barn, and yet God feeds them. And of how much more value are you than the birds? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? If then you are not able to do so as a do as small a thing as that, why are you anxious about the rest?" Verse 27. "Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass which is alive in the field today, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? And do not seek what you are to eat and what you are to drink, nor be worried. For all the nations of the world seek after these things, and your Father knows that you need them. Instead, seek his kingdom, and these things will be added to you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the needy. Provide yourselves with money bags that do not grow old, with a treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be as well." We're going to begin looking today and next week at how to live without anxiety. Can you imagine that? And we're calling this living beyond the weight of worry. Don't you find that worry is a heavy weight in your life? And the moment that God answers the prayer and sets you free from that, it's like, wow, the weight's off. The weight's gone. You know that the Lord Jesus said 12 times at least, the quickest count I could take this week, that 12 times it's recorded in the scripture, don't worry. Don't be anxious. And he explained why he said that on each of those particular occasions. And I think it's important to understand that we have an offer from God. You have an offer from God. It's part of the gospel message. It's intricately woven within the gospel message. It's what's given to us as dwellers in God's kingdom. What is it? Anxiety-free living. And it's ours if we want to take hold of it. Now, I understand that we live in a stressed-out world. People are anxious, and people are worrying about everything. Panic attacks grips millions and millions of people. People take drugs, and people drink, and people go on eating binges, and people go on shopping binges, and wild adventures, all for the sake of filling their minds with thoughts that will distract them from the anxiety that's plaguing them. We have a massive, massive medical field in this world that exists for nothing but to help people cope with their stress. Someone wrote this about this whole thing. Listen to this quote. I don't know who wrote it. No worry goes unnamed in our society. No worry goes undefined. No worry goes uncatalogued. No worry goes undiagnosed. And no worry goes unmedicated. They just all go unrelieved. People live with anxiety. It's so common, it's become so common in our world that no one ever even talks about eliminating it. The term instead is, let us help you manage it. And here comes Jesus Christ. And he comes along and he says, I'm not going to teach you how to manage it. I'm going to show you that I can eliminate it from your life. I want to teach you how to eliminate it, he says. Ohio State University has a website in which they deal with anxiety disorders and the treatment of them. And one of the statements on their website says this: the goal of any treatment is to make anxiety a manageable part of your daily existence. You see, the very, very best that the world can possibly offer you and I is just management of your anxiety. Jesus' offer is to eliminate it from you, to get rid of it altogether, to stop it, to end it. As a matter of fact, you can literally translate these verses, verse 22, you can translate it, stop being anxious. You can translate literally verse 29, stop worrying. You can translate verse 32, stop being afraid. The world offers you cognitive behavior therapy or a long list of drugs, but our compassionate God offers a far greater solution, the elimination of your anxiety altogether. Stop being anxious. Stop worrying. Stop being afraid. Someone wrote, worry is a thin stream of fear trickling through the mind. If encouraged, it cuts a channel into which all other thoughts are drained. The point is, you may start with a little bit of worry, and it may soon engulf your entire life. Let me give you an example. I don't know if you're aware of this or not, but in Washington, D.C., there's a bureau called the National Bureau of Standards. It's a place where they set all kinds of standards for the way things operate. You can Google it. It's really kind of a fascinating Google on the internet. And you can ask there on the National Bureau of Standards about any question you want to ask, and you can discover the most phenomenal things. But I discovered this. that I think is so applicable to what we're talking about and how worry consumes us. It says there in the National Bureau of Standards that a dense fog that covers a 7-city block area of a city, 7 square blocks, which 14 blocks is a mile, okay? So it would be basically 2 miles around it. A dense fog covering 7 city blocks, that's a fog that's 100 feet deep, is composed of only 1/2 gallon of water, or divided that 1/2 gallon into 60,000 drops. 1/2 gallon of water can cripple an entire community. Think about that. Set it into a dense fog. Now, you know what? I think that's exactly what happens to worry. You can have something so very, very small, yet it can turn into a mental strangulation of your life through fear and worry and anxiety and stress. Now, there's only 2 categories that we can possibly worry about, 2 realms in which we can worry. You can worry about the physical world, or you can worry about the spiritual world. You can worry about what's earthly, or you can worry about what's heavenly. And this is precisely what Jesus says to you and I, that we do not need to worry about these 2 realms. Look again with me at the scriptures. Verse 22, for example, Jesus says, "Do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat, nor about your body, what will you put on?" Which of those 2 categories does that fit in? The physical world. Stop worrying about the basics of your life, he says. And look at verse 32. "Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom," the spiritual world. In other words, don't be afraid on a spiritual level. God's got it taken care of. I'll care for you in the physical world. I'll care for you in the spiritual world as well. Think about this with me for a moment. If God says don't worry about the physical side of your life, and God says don't worry about the spiritual side of your life either, then what's left? Not too much, is it? You're left with nothing to worry about. You're left with nothing to be anxious about and nothing to panic over. But I think there's a natural question that immediately rises out of this. It sure did for me this week. A natural question that just raises itself up. God, if this is true of what you've said in verse 22 about the physical world and not being anxious about it, and God, if this is true what you've said in verse 32 about not being worried about the spiritual world, God, if I'm a Christian, and I say that I believe and trust you with all my heart, God, is it sin then when I worry? Is it sin when I'm fretting and anxious and consumed and being strangulated like a dense fog over my life? Is it sin, God? I think, as I understand this, that the answer to that question arises out of a failure to understand God. It's a failure to understand God. A failure to understand his commitment to sovereignly love and care for us, which he does. And it's a failure to understand his sovereign resources that he owns and has made available to us to meet all of our needs. Jesus' offer to us is anxiety-free living. When you come into his kingdom, God takes care of you. He defines your physical world. He defines your spiritual life. And he tells us that they're taken care of. Maybe it would be better to say, when we come into God's kingdom, your worries are eliminated. How are they eliminated? by understanding the promises of God and by understanding the purposes of God. So let's start this week, and we'll finish it next Sunday, by unpacking the reasons we worry. Let's unpack the reasons why we worry. I think we're going to discover that the reasons we worry are because of a failure on our part. And it's a failure to understand and embrace something that is absolutely true about God. Are you with me? Now, let me say to you that I don't stand up here as a talking head without not walking through life just like you do. Karen just stood up a few moments ago and shared that our daughter's going to have her third surgery in, what, a year's time or so? And she has this mass, birth defect of a mass that's growing into her shoulder that's full of arteries and blood veins, and it's interwoven into the muscle of her shoulder, so they can't go in and operate and take it out because she'll lose the control of her arm. But yet this blood that's pumping through her system is pooling up there, and it's poisoning her, and it pools there so it doesn't go to where it should go, so she gets migraine headaches, and she has fainting spells, and she just has the energy that she used to have. Every time they do this procedure on her, is life-threatening. It's only this far from her brain. They inject a deadening medication with the purpose of killing that thing right where it's at. But within a flash of a second, it could wind up in her brain if it's not done quickly and rightly and controlled properly. See, the great temptation is to worry and to be anxious and to get all stressed out. Or do you make a choice and you say, God, she belongs to you. You gave her to us. Blessed be the Lord who has given her. And God, even though she has two little precious girls and a wonderful husband, blessed be the Lord if he should take her home. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And do you fret? And do you worry? Or do you just get on your knees and pour out your concerns to God and say, God, we trust you. We trust you. We trust you. Blessed be your name, God. We trust you, the provider of our physical life and our spiritual life. The reasons we worry are because of a failure to understand and embrace something that is absolutely true about God. Here's the first one. Number one, worry is a failure to understand God's divine priority. It's a failure to understand God's divine priority. Look at verses 22 and 23 with me. Jesus said to his disciples, therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat, nor about your body, what you will put on. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothing. To understand this and what he's talking about, we need to go all the way back up to verse 13 in this chapter, where Jesus is teaching a large crowd. Verse 1 says there are thousands of people gathered here as he's teaching them. And also included in the crowd are the 12 disciples. And while he's teaching here in verse 13, a man interrupts him who yells out from the crowd, teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me. Now in this crowd are many people in many stages of life. There are those who have decided to trust and follow Christ, I'm sure. There are many who are trying to decide, is this the guy to follow? Should I trust him or not? One way or another. And of course, there are the 12 who are walking with him in intimate fellowship. And we know all this from verse 41, where Peter asked Jesus, are you telling this for us, the 12, or for all of them? But in Jesus' answer to the man in verse 13, tell my brother to divide the inheritance, Jesus answers with a parable of the rich man who decides to take life easy. He's going to build bigger barns, take life easy, keep everything for himself. And the Lord says to him in verse 20, fool, tonight your soul is going to be demanded of you, and the things you've prepared, whose will they be? And he says in verse 21, instead of taking life easy and laying up treasures to keep and hoard for yourself, instead you should be laying up treasures in heaven, and you should be rich towards God. And after answering that man's plea about dividing the inheritance, Jesus connects those two by coming to verse 22, what we just read. Therefore, there's the connecting word, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will put on. In other words, make a choice in your life as to what you're laying up treasure for, Jesus is saying. So make a choice. Either you're going to live a selfish life, a materialistic life, and keep everything for yourself, or Jesus says you'll lay up treasure in heaven by sharing with others in need. And that's a choice you and I have to make as well today. I know. We live in a dog-eat-dog world. We do. Who's going to take care of us if we don't take care of ourselves? And if I don't build bigger barns, if I don't take care of myself, if I don't stockpile, who's going to take care of me? And on top of that, I don't want to depend on somebody else. I don't want to be holding to someone else's compassion for me. And that's the attitude of the world that we're living in today. You know what God's answer is to that? Divine priority. Divine priority. He says, I'm going to take care of you. Don't I feed the birds? Don't I raise the grass in the field? God says, I know you and I know your need. I'm the one who can give you the kingdom, and when he's given you the kingdom, you can come fully, fully under that care that he's promised us. That's why Peter could write in 1 Peter 5:7, cast all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. He cares for us. There's a divine priority that God has put into place, and it's for all believers. You exist for a higher purpose in God's divine priority. Life is more than food, and life is more than the body that you have that's used for clothing. And when God is your life, you're more than an eating machine and a fashion model. Jesus says, you're not here just to exist. Scripture tells us it's in God that you live and you move and you have your being. Are you living that way? God has a purpose for your life. You're under divine priority. And if God has given you life, and he has, and if God has redeemed you as a believer, and he did, and if God has set his purpose for your life on you, and he does, then he will provide what you need to survive in this life. So, Jesus would say to that young man, and to you and I, be rich towards God. And he'll lavishly love and pour out that love and care and concern for you. And you say, well, Rich, there's a balance in here somewhere. Yeah, there is a balance. And the word says that. We're to be wise as serpents and innocent as doves. We're to be faithful to God and faithful to our families that we're in charge of. We're not to be foolish. We're called to be good stewards at all times. We're called to do some planning for the future. But remember, you're not the one who has obligated himself to your care. God has. Your life is not about food or clothing. It's not about making sure you survive. That's God's commitment. That's His priority for you and for me. God will sustain you, and you don't have to worry or be anxious about it. Worry fails. It fails to recognize God's divine priority. Take a breath. That's a lot to digest, but I got two more very quickly. Second of all, worry fails to understand God's divine provision. Worry fails to understand God's divine provision. Verse 24, look at it with me. Consider the ravens, Jesus said. They neither sow nor reap. They have neither storehouse nor barn. And yet God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the birds? Now, I don't know why, for whatever reason, Jesus chose birds to illustrate divine provision. Every crow, though, every bird, every raven that's ever lived, God wanted it to live. He put it out there to exist. And for as long as its lifetime is, however long God wants that bird to live, that raven to live, He provides food for it. Now think about this. If God feeds the birds and He takes care of them as He does for any and all of His creation, don't you think He's going to take care of you and make sure that you can survive and have enough? Why? Why can I say that? Why can I ask you that question? Because you have a higher divine priority than the birds do in the eyes of God. You are made after His image. Consider this, Jesus said in verse 24, that the birds are incapable of generating their own food supply. He said, they neither sow nor do they reap. They are totally dependent on God. What's provided for them is all totally provided for by God, their Creator. This is all that they ever have is what God gives to them and has given to them. God feeds them, verse 24 says. God has a purpose for their existence. There's a glory that comes to God through these birds. So God feeds them. It's the same provision that He makes for them that He makes for you and for I. And look at the end of verse 24. It's such an important phrase to grab hold of when you think about worrying and anxiety. Of how much more value are you than the birds. You see, if you belong to God, know that He's created a boundless supply and He provides it for His people. He's created an endless, boundless supply and He provides it for His people. Psalm 34, verses 9 and 10 says this, "Oh, fear the Lord, you His saints, for those who fear Him have no lack. The young lions suffer want and hunger, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing." Yeah, I know. There's some questions that automatically come up. Well, aren't there people, believers, who are starving in this world? I mean, you can go overseas. You can go south here. You can come into this country and find people who are starving. What's the deal with that? If God says there's no lack, well, I'll tell you why people are starving in this world. They're starving because of human sin. Human sin and no other reason. This world in which you and I live in has the total capability and capacity to more than feed the population of the entire world. More than the capacity to do that. But it's because of human sin. It's because of human denial of God that people are starving to death all over this world. Worry is a failure to understand divine priority, and it's a failure, number two, to understand divine provision. Will God not take better care of you than the animals? And the answer is yes. Yes, He will. Why? Because you bring Him a greater glory. Being made in His image. Here's the third one, the final one. really quickly. Worry is a failure to understand divine privilege, the privilege that we hold. Verse 25, look at it with me. And which of you, being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? I'll read it again. And which of you, being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? Jesus is just saying simply here, do you really think by worrying one little tiny ounce, do you really think by worrying about the amount of a jar of water, do you really think that you can add anything to your lifespan? This is a matter of divine privilege that we're talking about. Let's see if we can understand this. You and I don't have the privilege to determine how long we're going to live, but God does. God does. The Lord gives, and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. People are in a frenzy these days about trying to lengthen the days of their lives. You've got to do this. And you've got to take these supplements. You've got to do this exercise. You've got to consume these medications. And on and on and on it goes. And trying to lengthen lifespan has turned into a multi-billion dollar industry in this world. Listen, you can take bottles full of that stuff. You can exercise yourself into a frenzy, but you are not going to add one single day to your life. God controls how long you and I will live on this earth. And you know what? If our life is right with God, trusting Jesus Christ, why in the world would you want to stay here one day longer anyway? I don't. I don't want to be here any longer than God wants me here. But if you're not certain about where you stand with the Lord, that's why you're worrying. And that's why you're trying to work yourself physically up in a frenzy, trying to survive another day, another hour, maybe a couple more weeks. Now, I'm not saying, don't misunderstand me, these things are always open to wild interpretations. I'm not saying you shouldn't discipline yourself. I'm not saying you shouldn't get some exercise. You should exercise. I'm not saying that you shouldn't eat, but you should eat healthily. You shouldn't be overindulging. Our bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit, and we should be modern in what we eat, modern what we drink, moderate in what we drink. We should exercise to some degree to stay in a reasonably good condition of health. Karen and I try to walk 2 miles three, four, five times a week. We just try to do a little discipline of exercise. We should be doing that stuff. Our bodies are temples of the Spirit, and we should honor God with the way that we treat our bodies. There's no doubt about that. And you know what? I believe the scripture is absolutely clear. We will be held accountable to God for overindulgence and will be held accountable for gluttony and for laziness in this life. But I'm trying to impress on you this morning that worry is not going to lengthen your life, because the one who has the privilege to determine when you're born and when you're going to die is God. That's his privilege. He's sovereign God. So don't worry, because you belong to him. And he's got you. We sang that this morning. He's got us in the palm of his hands. One of my favorite verses about all of this length of days is Psalm 139, verse 16. It says, "Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written, every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them." In the NIV translation, I think it goes like this: "All the days you've ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be." God knew the day I would be born, and God already knows, and it's written in his book, the day I'm going to leave this earth. And don't presume on any of that I'm going to change that, because I can't, and neither can you. God recorded every day of your life in his book, and before one of those days ever occurred, before you were even formed in the womb, the psalmist is telling, he knew the day you'd be born. He knows the day you're leaving here. I was thinking about this week because my parents left into this earth in two different, completely different situations. My dad at 79 years of age got up from the supper table, was walking across the living room to go sit in his recliner where he was spending the remaining days of his life, and he fell in the middle of the floor, and 5 hours later he was gone. He had a massive stroke. God knew the day that Howard Hubert at 79 years of age was going to leave this earth and how it was going to happen. My mother, on the other hand, God bless her, lived another 13 years, I think it was. Got a call. It was a Wednesday afternoon from my brother. He said, "Rich, I don't know what's happened to Mom, but you better come. She's had some kind of a minor thing happening, but it just seems like things aren't right." So we go out there, and we're there, and I walk in the room. I said, "Mom, do you know me?" "Oh, yeah." She kind of laughs. A couple hours later, she's in a coma. Doesn't know anybody, can't communicate anymore. She lays in that coma for 8, 9, 10 days. I don't remember anymore. But I mean, there was a length of time. There was a gradual process in how she was going to leave this earth. But there was an appointed day. There was an appointed day. As we're all gathered around her bed, 10:30 at night there in the nursing home. And actually, I was so exhausted. Karen and I had stayed with her all night and been up all night with her, and I was asleep in the recliner, and Karen came and got me, and she said, "Rich, you better come. It doesn't look like Mom's going to last much longer." And at 10:30, 10:45, she breathed her last after these days and days in this coma. You see, God recorded every day of Marion Hubert's life in his book, and he knew exactly on what day she would be leaving this earth, and he knows exactly on what day you are leaving this earth as well. He knows your priority is to serve him, and he knows your priority is to glorify him, and he makes provision so that priority can be fulfilled in life, and he determines just exactly how long he wants that to go on with you. It's his privilege to give you life and to take that life away. What's to worry for after all of that? I mean, what good is it really to sit and fret and be strangled by some worry that's just taken over you in your body? Well, we'll talk about the rest of this, Lord willing, next week, if God doesn't take me out first. Becky quoted it or read it this morning from from Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Don't be anxious about anything. He didn't say some things. Paul said to the Philippian church, don't be anxious about anything, but in prayer and supplication, bring your requests to God. Let's do that right now. Father, I just say forgive me for all the worrying I've done in these 55 years of my life when I haven't trusted you implicitly. Forgive me for the anxiousness of when I didn't humble myself under you and pour out my heart to you. Because you're such a big God, you can take and handle it all. Forgive me for not trusting you with those things that are so close to our hearts, like our daughter and our grandchildren at times. And forgive me for the cares of this world that continually want to pile itself up on our shoulders and push us down like a heavy weight we can't hardly crawl out from under. But God, I'm so grateful for Jesus today and the power of the cross. Because the same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead is the same power that will take all that worry and all that anxiousness and all that stress, and you'll take it and cast it off us as far as the east is from the west. When we humble ourselves under your mighty hand and pray and seek your face. So God, help us to be a people who verbally, openly, lovingly talk to you, our maker, our redeemer, our friend. Help us to communicate with you those things that are seeking to pull us down, that are seeking to consume our lives like a dense fog consumes a city. And God, we just pray, lift that off us because you can. And we trust you because your word is true. And when Jesus, the Savior, our Lord, says, come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest, we can come by faith. And you will take our burden off us, our yoke, and you will give us your good pleasure, for your yoke is easy and your burden is light. Thank you for the privilege to be called your sons and your daughters. And thank you that we can offer ourselves to you as a living sacrifice in this world which we're living. Help our priorities to be for you, God, in everything that we do. May we live to please and glorify and honor you in every way. In Jesus' name, amen.